Welcome to Career and Leadership Real Talk, the no-nonsense guide for ambitious managers who want to have more impact and progress their career. I'm Pamela Langan, a job search coach and expert CV writer specializing in helping frustrated professionals land the jobs and pay rises they know they deserve.
And I'm Jackie Jagger, a leadership and mindset coach specializing in helping newly promoted and new-to-role leaders to avoid the dickhead trap and lead with confidence. Between us, we've helped hundreds of leaders and managers to find new roles, take ownership of their careers, and handle the challenges that job searches and leadership responsibility inevitably bring. And now we're joining forces to share with you what we know has worked for our clients. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode. Today, we are talking about how to write the perfect job description. Now, if you are an ambitious leader or manager, which probably you are if you listen to this podcast, then there is a very good chance that at some point your own job description, even though it may not specify, will include writing a job description for someone that you need to recruit. And we know that at this point, that can be a real challenge. So we're going to be mining Pam's recruiter brain for all of her knowledge and insights on how to write a perfect job description. So Pam, what is it that makes for a good job description?
I think the real key thing around creating the perfect job description is making sure that it's clear, that it is attractive to the candidates that you're recruiting for, and it really sets out those clear expectations. And when somebody reads that job description, they can really get a feel for your organization and what they might need to deliver in that role. And then that will allow them to align themselves with your organization, with the task at hand, and also allow them to tailor their own documents, their own CV, their own cover letter to show how they do align with your role. So I think the more specific that you can be when you're writing that job description, the easier it is for somebody to align themselves to your role and also to rule themselves out as well. And that's one of the key things, because we never think about candidates ruling themselves out. We just think about candidates applying and how can we get the best people to apply for the job? How can we make sure that we've got the top talent coming through? But we never think about how we make sure that people exclude themselves because they read through and realize that this is not for them, or the company culture wouldn't work for them, et cetera. So I think it's really key to think about all of these aspects and create a job description that is compelling, that is concise, that is really clear, and just allows that person to really resonate and align with the role.
And straight away, from a mindset perspective, what I notice is you're very much talking about a job description as that external facing. And often what I've seen is that it's considered that the job description is an internal document and that the ad is the external facing bit if you're then recruiting for that role. But what you're describing is that realistically, from a mindset perspective, people need to think of the job description as a marketing asset, don't they? As a way to showcase and highlight and attract the right people and repel the wrong people for the role, in the same way that another piece of marketing might be about attracting interest for a product or a service. This is doing the same job for roles within the business.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the key thing with the job description as well, like you're saying, is it's an external facing document, isn't it? It's what you're going to use in marketing. It's what you're going to use on your job ads. There's a lot that goes into that and a lot of thought that needs to be had around it. So thinking about the job description and its true purpose, it's also going to be there for the people who are actually doing those roles, the people who are internal, the people who are maybe using it as the basis for their actual job role, the people that are using it to write their performance reviews and all of that kind of stuff as well. It's such an important document. And if it's done right, then it's amazing and it can attract all of the right candidates and it can serve the purpose internally where people can use it as the foundation for their role and as a way of measuring themselves and measuring their success within that role as well.
I suppose what it does, as I'm listening to you describe it, is it creates clarity of expectation, doesn't it? Whether that's an external candidate being attracted to apply for a role or ruling themselves out, whether that's an internal person who is in that role, it gives that shared mutual understanding of this is what the role is, this is what the role's about, this is how the role contributes or is supposed to. And that, like you say, then allows that real understanding from both sides.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there is a lot more to the job description than just what you see on the page. And from an internal perspective, you also want to have that prep work documented as well. You don't just want that outward facing document that people will, you know, put in their HR file and refer to internally, and people will review on a job ad or whatever and use it in that way. You want to have the background there as well. So when I'm talking about the background, what I'm talking about is how this person adds value, what are the performance goals. We can go into it in a little bit more detail, but there's a lot more that sits behind the job description than just the words on the page describing that role.
So let's break it down then. If you're working with someone who is going to be recruiting or who is reviewing their internal job descriptions, creating a new role internally, lots of reasons why a job description needs to be written. Where do you start? Talk us through the process and what the first piece of work is.
Yeah, so the first thing, before you even sit down with that blank template and start typing in what the general duties of that role are and all of the bits like job title and salary, like before you even get to that point, what you want to do is start by talking to the current team members. Start talking to the people who are already in the role. If you're recruiting for a role and somebody's already in it, if they're moving on, moving out, whatever they're doing, talk to them about the role. How have they found it? What were the challenges that they faced within that role? Where do they think that role could be expanded? What does that role look like on a general day-to-day basis? And speaking to those people, if they are still there, is obviously really insightful. Speaking to other members of the team, speaking to the stakeholders that link in to that role as well is super important, because they might have some frustrations around things that they need to deliver in their roles. That role isn't currently delivering, but that's the only point of contact. So you can almost go through, almost map it out and find out what challenges does this role face? What does this role need to deliver on a day-to-day basis? How can this role add value within this organization as a whole and also within this team? And when you start to look at the structure of that role and what is required from that role, from that person in that role, then you can start to map out actually what you need the next person to have, what you need that new person to have in terms of skill set, in terms of experience, in terms of qualifications, and you can really drill down. But until you've had those conversations, you're just working in isolation. You're just working off what you think, or you might have a previous job description that you can copy and paste. Lots of companies will do that. They'll just ask HR, you know, what's the job description we've got on file? Copy and paste that into the job ad and job done. But we're missing this really important step of getting under the skin of what actually needs to be delivered in that role. And that will also show you what type of person and what, you know, and from a values and all of that kind of stuff as well, from that perspective, which is really important. You will, by reviewing that, you will get a closer match for what you need. And ultimately, you're going to get a bigger or a better return on investment.
That's bugbear of mine when I was in HR, this idea that you just, as an internal recruiter, just, yeah, here's the job description, just go and get me another one of these. And there was no thought or review of, does that role still fit? Does this reflect what the person that was doing it was doing? Did that person do it brilliantly? Do I want another one like that? Do I want somebody who is going to transition and progress within the business? Or do I want somebody who is going to do a great job of that and be really happy making a contribution in that role. But also those opportunities, like you say, do we want to tweak things? Do we want to move some of the responsibilities? Do we want to clarify things? Because this is an opportunity before we move into a recruitment process to decide what's actually important in this role and from this person. So if somebody's started with some of that conversation or thinking or a bit of both, where do they go next?
Okay, so the next thing to do, so once you've started having those conversations and really like thinking about what do we need to see from this person, the next thing is really drilling down and asking yourself some questions. How will this person add value to the team? What projects will they work on in the short term and the long term? What will they actually own? What would we like them to own moving forward? And also, what skills will this person need to hit the ground running straight away? What do we need to see from them immediately? And then that also opens up the question of what skills are you willing to train? What skills are you willing to say, okay, if this person ticks all of the other boxes, we can train them up on these bits? Because then that will open up the candidate pool that you've got, because you'll have people that might move for a progression opportunity. There'll be loads of different ways that people will then be attracted to your role. So being really clear on what skills the person needs to hit the ground running will help you find that right person, that you'll get that instant return on investment if you can identify what skills the person needs immediately and what skills you can later train them on. And then the next thing is around performance goals. And this is something that I always ask clients, like when we're working with them on our Recruit Right program, I always ask people, what are the performance goals? And they're always quite shocked that I ask them that question, because it's like, we'll look at that down the line, because performance goals are going to be applicable when that person is in the job. Actually, if you think about performance goals now, up front, before you've even written that job description, then that will really help you to figure out what kind of person that you do need and what skill set and experience they do actually need to have. Because when you're looking at what does success look like for this person in this role, and you're mapping out those goals and possibly KPIs along with that, then you know up front what this person needs to deliver. And this also helps with the interview stage as well, because when you're writing this job description, the next stage of this is the selection process, and then you're into interviews. So if you're thinking about the things that you need to test people on, the things that you need to ask people, and that's very much related to performance, that is really going to help you find the right person and get the most value for your money as well.
And it's really interesting, that bit about performance goals, because I recognize that so many people go into a role not knowing really what's expected, not knowing what those objectives are or what they're working towards. And it's really unsettling in the start of a new role if you haven't got any idea. You don't want the pressure on you to hit those goals immediately, but you want to have an idea of what you're supposed to be working towards, and that gives you a steer on how you can work to develop yourself so that you're more able to achieve and deliver those things. So it's really interesting. What do you find the response is typically when you probe people on that?
So generally, people always say, I'll need to come back to you on that. That is like 100% every single time the answer, because it's, oh, why is that relevant? Because that's not what we're thinking of right now. We just need to get this person in post. But actually, when you think about it as well, a lot of companies will ask people to do a presentation and show them, what will you do in the first 90 days? And basically, at this stage, if you've not thought about performance goals, if you've not shared any of that information about what success might look like in this role, that person is basically creating that presentation in the dark. So you're not actually getting the best from that person in that interview, because they don't really know what your objectives are or your expectations. So they're just going off, this is the basics of what you would do in the first 90 days. Whereas if you've got those performance goals in mind, if you can articulate to the candidate what success would look like in this role, then they can then answer your questions and create presentations with all of that information in mind. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It can just be a basic outline on what success looks like in the first 3, 6, 9 months, whatever it is. And you can keep it really simple, but it will mean that your candidates are going to be able to perform better in that interview and give you a better insight into their thought processes and what they would actually do in those initial stages of that role.
And so what's next then? So if you've got that clarity on what the role is and the overall piece, and then you've started to mine into the detail of what are the performance metrics, what does someone need to specifically deliver, how do you start to bring that together from the thinking to actually having a job description written?
Yeah, so I think the next stage is going to be starting to map that out and start to create the actual job description. Because once you've given it that thought, then you can start jotting it down. You can refer back to previous job descriptions. You can make sure that they're still ticking the boxes. Obviously, you've got the fresh information and an understanding of the challenges in the day-to-day. So you can start adding those into the job description. And one of the things that we've actually created for people is a template that you can download. So you'll find that in the show notes if you're listening to the podcast, and you can access the complete guide on how to create the job description and also the blank template that you can also use to create your job description. And I think the next part of that is starting to document it and work through that and start to define what the roles, responsibilities are, what they look like, be really clear on the primary duties, because I think there's a real tendency when writing a job description, put everything and the kitchen sink in there, because if we don't include it, at some point somebody's going to say, that's not in my job description. So there's a real temptation to put absolutely everything in there, which then can, at the point of attracting candidates, can also help rule people out, which sometimes is not a bad thing. You don't want a job description that somebody would look at and think, wow, how am I going to do that in 35, 40 hours a week? That's like a 70-hour a week job. So you can also think about what is absolutely necessary, and you can add in additional things, of course, to make sure you've got all bases covered. But just really thinking about what the primary duties are and the key projects that this person will be working on, and start to document those. And then once you've got them documented, then you can do the sense check with the people that you've already spoken to, and maybe open that up to a few of the different people that will link into that role to make sure that you've got that spot on. And I think that once you've got it documented and almost tested and asked different people, then that's where you can then go back to it yourself and ask yourself, if we're recruiting this person tomorrow, is this right? Is this the right fit? And it's just that almost constant questioning of yourself and just keep going back to it. Is this definitely what we want? Is this definitely what we need? Is this the right type of person? And also just thinking about what kind of person would add value within this role and within this team, and almost keeping that front of mind. And documenting as much of that as possible as well. So you've got those notes to refer to, so that you might get absolutely blown away in the interview by a candidate, but you're like, is this really what we need? And you can refer back to actually what you do really need, because you've already done that prep work.
And at that stage, I always find having clarity in your own head between the essential and the desirable is such a crucial step, because once you've got that and you know this is the thing that absolutely has to be ticked, and then of these other things, I need some or most, but I don't need all. Almost a ranking system in your head, isn't it? Of this is the absolute non-negotiables. These are the things that it would be a massive bonus for that person to have or be able to do. And then these are the things that, yeah, they're nice, but they're maybe not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, definitely. And I think another key thing to think about when you're thinking around the values alignment and all of that kind of stuff is the company culture. and the company values, because obviously you've got the company values and you've got people with personal values as well. And you want to create a great cultural fit as well. You don't want to just get the right person who's got the right skills, but they don't fit in with the culture and the values of the organization. So I think it's good for you to almost go through, think about, what does the company culture look and feel like from your perspective? How would you describe it? Because different organizations have different team dynamics, have different cultures. So you also need to think, what kind of person, what values do they need to have in order to fit in with our organization? And I think that is key. So once you've got everything listed that you want from this person that you need them to do, then it's like taking it to the next level and looking at the culture and the values and making sure that you can give enough information for people to see if they will align. Because a lot of people will go to your website, or depending on if you're a big brand or a well-known brand, and they'll be like, I'm super excited to work for your company because I know your brand. I've been following your brand since I was a child. There's loads of different ways that they might be excited about your brand, but they only see it externally. They probably don't understand your brand or your company from an internal perspective. What does that look like? Is it fast-paced? What can you tell them about what goes on inside your organization to give them a feel for, you know, does this align with me? Is this an environment I would like to work in? And obviously, you want to keep it as positive as possible, but you want to give them the opportunity to understand how it all works and how you all fit together and how you achieve results within your organization. And I think if you do that as well, that will also help with the attraction. And also it will repel some candidates as well, which will be helpful, because at the end of the day, even if you've got somebody that ticks all the boxes on skill set, experience and qualifications, if they don't fit with your company culture, if they don't share the same values, they are not going to last within that role. They're not going to be fulfilled. They're not going to be happy. And that's the key thing, isn't it? You want somebody that's going to fit, somebody that's going to add value, somebody that's going to make an impact, but somebody that's going to come in and feel fulfilled, be passionate, want to come to work every day. I think that's really key as well.
And we spoke before we started recording about the difference between people's values and their personality. And this can be a stage, I think, where people can have an idea of cultural fit being interpreted as the kind of personality. I want someone who's lively, or I want someone who's quiet, or I want someone who's detail oriented, or there's lots of different aspects. And sometimes the capacity to do those things is equivalent to a skill. So somebody that has a preference for detail, if the role requires a lot of detail, that may well come more naturally to them. But I think it's important to highlight that difference between personality and values when it comes to culture, because you can have very quiet, unassuming people and people who are more extroverted and outward facing energy who can work together really successfully if there is a shared understanding and a shared belief in what matters and a view of the team and the business as a whole that brings them together.
Yeah, definitely. And I think doing something like this as well is a really good opportunity to assess your team strengths and the gaps within your team, because sometimes you might feel like you've got some pretty big gaps within that team, but actually you're going through this recruitment cycle. You could actually bring somebody in that could touch on those different points and really close those gaps down. But unless you've assessed that and analyzed where those gaps are, then it's more difficult to do that. And like you say, personality is a preference and people can change and adapt depending on what work needs to be delivered. And we've seen this a lot. One of our clients particularly was recruiting extroverts for their team. They just wanted extroverts because the brand was very much out there, very flamboyant, and they just wanted extroverts to be the face of the business. But what that actually resulted in was that everybody wanted to be out there being the face of the business. Nobody actually wanted to do the work because they were very extroverted and out there and just wanting to really make a difference and make an impact, when what they actually needed was a mix of people, that some people more detail oriented to actually get the work done. And then based on the values of the organization, you can really look into whose values align, and you can ask them questions about that in the interview, and you can get a real feel and an understanding of those people and how they think they aligned. And it all comes simply from doing this prep with the job description. So it's almost like you are as you are creating this job description, you're also thinking ahead, looking at the interview and the potential when you get into that point of offering somebody the role, like, what do we need to see? What do we want from this person? And you're looking at the whole picture rather than just the job description in isolation, which most people will do.
And I'm really interested to ask this question because we haven't talked about this. In terms of language, what do you think a company should think about, or a hiring manager should think about, when they're writing the job description from a language perspective? Because a lot of job descriptions are written in what I would consider to be quite stuffy, old-fashioned, formal language. And I know I have big preference when I'm working with clients for simplifying the language, for making it less formal and more human. And that can sometimes be a bit of a culture shock when you're working with someone who's been used to, but this is how job descriptions are. It can feel quite different. And when you get to the end result and you share something that you've created, it can be, oh, actually, yeah, suddenly they can see that is, and I guess it comes back to the point that it's marketing, isn't it? You can see that you can inject a bit more into something when you're not tied to that kind of stuffy old-fashioned language.
Yeah, I think it's got to be conversational language. It's got to be simplified as much as possible. It's almost like when you're writing it, you're talking to that person. So if you were describing this role to a group of people, if you're up on stage, how would you describe this role? And you wouldn't talk in that stuffy kind of boring corporate language. You would be talking to them in a conversational tone. You would be keeping it simple and you'll be getting the key points across. And I think that is really key, because that will help you attract the best people for the role. Some clients will think that by using almost a convoluted language and trying to make it feel really formal, that will attract the better candidates, because they'll be attracted, you know, to that formal, you know, that formal language, when actually you will get better candidates coming through when you make it more conversational. And we've seen that time and time again when employers have come to us and asked us to support with their recruitment processes, and they've said, this is what we've been doing. We haven't had the right candidates come through. We've had lots of wasted time because we've had candidates come through, but when we've got them to interview, they're not the right candidate. So we've not been able to appoint. And then when we look at what they've been doing, we look at the process, we look at the job description, and we start getting under the skin of it. And then we create something that is conversational, that is more simplified. And then they see the quality and the caliber of the candidates is massively increased, and the whole process is so much more simplified and easy. You know, that they're always surprised, and you know, they people often don't think there's any other way to recruit. It's either like a formal stuffy process or you use a recruiter. They don't realize that actually you can create your own internal processes and have a really great recruitment process that you can take people through, that also really adds value in terms of your employer brand and all of that kind of stuff as well, because it's not just about this job in isolation. It's about your entire employer brand and, you know, what people think of you, because the better the employer brand, the better quality of candidates you will attract in the long term.
Perfect. And we could go on and talk about employer brand, but we need to call it to a close at that point. So if anybody is listening and you are responsible for recruitment, whether that be as a hiring manager or in an HR function, Catalyst Careers has a range of services available to support. So from working with hiring managers around skills training for things like writing job descriptions or delivering good recruitment processes, working with internal recruiters, or for smaller businesses, we can partner with you to look after a lot of that process. So please do get in touch if those things will be helpful. If you are listening and you would need to write a job description and that guide that Pam referenced earlier would be helpful, then there's a link to download that in the show notes. And it includes a guide to how to write it. So some real kind of key hints and tips, and then also a template for the job description itself. So please feel free to download and use that. As ever, thank you for listening. We'll be back with another episode next week. And in the meantime, please do share this with anyone that it will be helpful for, who's maybe in that place of recruiting and being asked to write job descriptions from scratch for the first time. And we will look forward to joining you again next time. Exciting news from us. If you're an ambitious leader or manager earning 50k or more and you're ready to take your career to the next level, we have an opportunity for you. Introducing Catalyst Career Club, your secret weapon for unlocking career success. As a member, you'll get access to monthly live training sessions, exclusive job opportunities, and the ability to get personalised advice from us on your toughest career challenges.
We've helped thousands of driven leaders like you secure significant pay rises, land dream roles, and thrive in their careers. And now we want to support you in achieving your most ambitious career goals too. Membership is just $6.99 per month with no contract or tie-in. And as a special bonus for being our podcast listeners, you can use the code podcast at checkout to get your first month for just £1. Head over to pamelalangan.com/Catalyst Career Club to sign up now, and we'll see you inside.